Verse 31 says, then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Lord, we just pray for an insight in your word, for your Holy Spirit to reveal those things. Lord, there is so much in your word, Lord, and only you can highlight it in such a fashion, Lord, where it just highlights our life and our hearts and how this applies to us, Lord. So I just pray, would you speak to us in a special way, the way that only you can? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you recall, a couple weeks ago in our last study, we went over the rich young ruler that came to Jesus with a question. Do you guys remember that question? He said, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Mark tells us that when he came to Jesus, he came running and he knelt before him. We see the posture of his body. We see that there was sincerity there. He came to Jesus wanting to know, how can I be saved? How can I have eternal life? But here's the thing, by all human accounts, this young man was powerful. He had a successful life. He was a leader in the community. He had attained what many in life just dreamed of. And we also learned that he had an understanding of God's word. However, he knew that he was not saved. He had no assurance of eternal life. And that's the question that he brings to Jesus. You see, you could be very successful in life, have all these things, have power. You can be respected in the community. You can be wealthy and so forth. But inside, you know there's something missing. You know that you don't have a relationship with God. And in turn, you don't know what eternity holds. And death is something that a person fears. Because everybody wants to know what happens afterwards. And assurance only comes through Jesus Christ of heaven. And this man knew he was missing. He was missing something. So he comes through him. And in the course of the conversation, I'm not going to go back into too much detail. But in the course of the conversation, Jesus basically used the law to put his finger on where the problem was. He said to him, after they spoke about the law, he says, you know, obey the commandments. Have you obeyed? And he says, yes, I've done these. And we know that there was five that he didn't mention all of them. Coveting wasn't one of them that he mentioned. Nevertheless, through the course of the conversation, he used it as a mirror. And he tells him, he says, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor. And you will have treasures in heaven. And come follow me. Now, this was too much for this man. He was not willing to give up his possessions. In fact, his possessions possessed him. And therefore, revealing that his true God was his riches. He had broken the first commandment. He had another God before the right and true God. And therefore, Jesus exposes him. He exposes his heart. And he says, look, go and sell this. Not that Jesus tells everyone, hey, go sell everything and so forth. That's not the case. But Jesus has a way of putting his finger on whatever it is, whatever that obstacle is in your life that keeps you from coming to him. He has a way of doing that. And here's the thing is that he does that. When a person doesn't know the Lord, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit comes and lays his finger right there and he says, this is it. And then it's up to that person whether they're going to respond. They have to come to that place where they make a decision and say, yeah, Lord, forgive me, I choose you, or no, I'm going to continue in this. And that's basically what happened here with this man. He was forced to make a decision, and the Bible tells us that he went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. He was not willing to do that. And here's the thing is that God offers us this free gift of salvation. It's free. We can't earn it, we can't work for it, but we must be willing to let go of our sins and receive Jesus Christ. To repent of our sins, whatever it is that's holding us back from God, and then receive the Lord, receive his forgiveness, his gift of eternal life. Well, this man went away sorrowful. He was not willing to do so. And that brings us to our text today. Take a look at verse 31 with me through 33. It's like the scene right now, it just pans over. It changes a little bit. Jesus, after this, takes his disciples aside. And he says in verse 31, then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, or listen up, we are going up to Jerusalem. And all the things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. But this I believe that they missed as well. And the third day he will rise again. The time for Jesus' crucifixion was near. Remember, they're making their way down to Jerusalem. And Jesus was preparing his disciples for what was coming. He has mentioned on several occasions, another occasion, saying that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to die. But this time it's different. They're close. And he's prophetically telling his disciples what's ahead, and he gives them details. And these details that he's speaking of, they're written in the Word of God. They're in the Old Testament. And he says, listen, the Word of God, the prophets of old, they have spoken about what is about to happen. And the Word of God is about to be fulfilled. It's about to take place. And we think, God's Word is so precise. And his word is prophetic. Now, there's differences of opinions on how many prophecies Jesus fulfilled. Some go as low as 200, some 300 and so forth. And there's many. But if he just fulfilled one, the odds are astronomical. And here, we are just going to take a look at a couple of the prophecies that Jesus is speaking of. Notice that it says that all the things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. Turn with me to Psalms 22, if you will. Jesus is speaking of his suffering. That he's going to die, he's going to be crucified, these things are going to happen to him. It is written, it must come to pass. But here's the thing, is that there's a confusion also, because remember, he is supposed to rule and reign. He is the Messiah. He's supposed to, in the minds of the Jewish believers at the time, they thought he's going to do away with Rome. Rome was ruling at the time, right? How's that going to happen if he dies, if he's going to be killed? So there's a confusion in their mind. But let's take a look at Scripture. Psalms 22, if you can turn there with me. I'm just going to read through it. By the way, this is a Psalm of David. This is 1,000 years prior. 1,000 years prior. Notice what David prophesies. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of man and despised by the people. All of those who see me ridicule me. They shoot at the lip, they shake their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. And notice, many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like raging and roaring lions. Verse 14, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For the dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Did you catch that? 1,000 years earlier, it was prophesied that Jesus' hands and feet were pierced. It's incredible because crucifixion was not invented probably about 300 years plus before Jesus was crucified. And yet, here it's being prophesied of, and it says, I can count all my bones. They look and stared at me. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. And then it says, you have answered me. A prophecy that was fulfilled when Jesus went to the cross, and by which death he would die. 1,000 years earlier. And I'm going to turn to Isaiah 53, which you may be very familiar with. It's a such a detailed account of Jesus' crucifixion as well. 700 plus years earlier. And this is what Jesus is saying. Look, this is going to happen to me. The prophet spoke of this. I'm going to suffer and die, but I'm going to rise again. In fact, I'm going to start a little bit earlier in chapter 52. In verse 13, it says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. You know, he was beaten to a pulp where he was not recognized. So shall he sprinkle many nations, kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. It goes on and just describes this crucifixion and this suffering that takes place. And you can read it on your own. But here's the thing. Over 700 years. 1,000 years earlier. And this is what Jesus is telling his disciples. He's saying, look, these things are going to happen. But notice what it says in verse 34. It says, but they understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Have you ever read the Bible and not understood what it said? I think Anthony said earlier that he's like, you know, I had no clue what it said. But then as soon as I came to know the Lord, all of a sudden I understood the word of God. There are times that we read and we're like a little bit confused or a lot confused, and we come back, whether it may be days or months or years later, and all of a sudden it's clear as day. Another thing that we got to take into consideration is that they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. They had not received the Holy Spirit at this time, but whatever the reason is, it says here that it was hidden from them. They did not know these things at this time. They did not understand them. But a point I think that's important that we don't miss here is that Jesus knows what's about to take place shortly. And I think that we ought to consider this. Let me ask you something. If you know that you're heading to a certain direction and the certain death and suffering and pain awaits, Would you continue going that direction? I don't think we would. We would say, I'm going to go the opposite direction. Suffering, pain, death. But here's the thing, that Jesus, he went in that direction. He knew what awaited him. Why? Because that was the cost for your salvation and for my salvation. He knew that that was the cost. And he says that he would do it willingly for you and for me. That's the love of God. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And there's a cost. Earlier, where in the previous verses that we went over a couple weeks ago, Peter said, Lord, hey, listen, we gave up everything. What do we get, right? And Jesus says, hey, you're going to see brothers, sisters, and so forth, and many times on this earth and also in eternity, right, in the time to come. There's going to be such a reward. And Jesus hears, as he turns this around, in a sense, he says, there's a cost for me, and I do it willingly. So he willingly goes to the cross, and he warns them, he's preparing them, this is going to happen, and the problem is they're not hearing. And God so often prepares us for those things that are going to come. But oftentimes we're not paying attention. There's so many times that God is speaking to us, and sometimes he's yelling in a sense. Not that it's audibly, but in certain ways that he gets our attention. But we do not pay attention, or we do not want to hear. Oftentimes he says, these things are coming. Prepare your hearts. Listen, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit for those things ahead. Verse 35 says, then it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he cried out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have, what does it say? Justice on, no? Mercy on me. Mercy. There's a lot on here to unpack, because there's a lot of different thoughts and opinions and so forth. When you grab the three synoptic gospels and you look at this event, well, some says, hey, there's some controversy here. Well, in Mark, it says that he was actually, he was coming out of Jericho. Here it says you're going into Jericho. Well, Matthew says that there was two blind men. Here it says one blind man, and so forth and so on, right? All these different things that people can grab and try to make a lot out of. Listen, the Word of God is perfect. It's inerrant. There is absolutely no errors in it. And on something like this, sometimes we can allow something like this to really throw us off. And we shouldn't. We just need to dig a little deeper. And also trust the Lord and wait, because He reveals those things to us. In fact, something like Jericho, right? It says on here, coming near Jericho. The other one says coming out of Jericho. Do you know that there's two Jerichos? There's two Jerichos side by side. So both are true, coming out of Jericho and going into Jericho at that time. I remember when I used to live in Texas, there was Old Conroe and New Conroe. Why is that so hard to believe? We can make a lot out of a little. The other thing is, well, this man, there was two blind men. Well, if it was two blind men, was there not one blind man? Of course there is, right? And oftentimes the Bible wants to highlight a particular person. And in this case here, Luke highlights this man. And that's where our attention is brought to. And in fact, Mark gives us his name as well. So there's all these different details that when we put the Gospels together, the Synoptic Gospels, that we could see a fuller picture of the story. But all that being said, I want us to get the point here. What do we see here? We see this blind man. He is begging. And notice, he hears. Can you imagine this? Imagine this with me. You're blind, and all of a sudden you hear all this noise, all this commotion, something's going on. And what does he do? He says, hey, what's going on? What does all this mean? And somebody says, Jesus of Nazareth is here. Wow. Obviously, he's heard of him. Because he calls him Son of David, which is a messianic term. And all of a sudden, when he hears this, this guy can't keep quiet. This guy just cries out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Listen, this man approaches Jesus on the basis not of justice or of something he deserves, but on the basis of his mercy. And our God is a merciful God. He is just, he is gracious, and he is loving. He hears Jesus is coming by, and he says, it does not matter. I'm going to make sure I get his attention. Maybe you've been to a Christian concert or another concert or a football game, whatever it may be. Imagine this, there's such a crowd, and sometimes there's a person that is so determined to get the attention of an individual that he is yelling out, and he wants to get that attention, yelling out louder than everybody else around him. In a crowd. That's how determined this blind man was. They said, hey, quiet down. He says, no. I'm going to yell even louder. Notice verse 39. And those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. Jesus heard him. At this point, Mark tells us, he says that Jesus commanded that he be brought to him. They called the blind man, saying, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And he did this. This is what the blind man did. Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Listen, this garment, this begging garment that he had, is something that he would use. He was a beggar. What does it signify if he's throwing away this garment? He says, I will no longer need it. I am done with this. I got Jesus' attention. And he is faithful. He threw it away. He gets rid of it. He says, I will no longer be a beggar. I'm going before the King of Kings. He's no longer in need of it. This man had faith. And when he had come near, he asked them, saying, what do you want me to do for you? He said, notice, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Now, earlier on, the young rich ruler had obstacles in his life that stopped him from coming to Jesus. Those obstacles were his possessions, his riches. This man had a disability that could have stopped them from coming to Jesus. But this man did not allow that. He was desperate to come to him. And notice that Jesus heard him and he says, what do you want? And he says, that I may receive my sight. He calls him Lord. He knows who Jesus is. And I love his answer. Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Listen, it was not this man's faith and his faith that made him well. It was his faith in Jesus. Jesus says, you have put your faith in me, your trust in me. You believe in me. Verse 43, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. The rich young ruler didn't follow Jesus. He went away sorrowful. But this blind man, he received his sight, he was healed, and he followed Jesus. Maybe you can relate, because everyone here was spiritually blind at some point. Everyone here, at some point, we were spiritually blind. We didn't know about God. We thought we knew about God. We knew maybe some things of God. We may have even gone to church and had some information and so forth, but at a certain point, our eyes were opened. And can you imagine this man, for the first time, his eyes are opened. for the first time, what he saw, first thing he saw was Jesus. Can you imagine that? First sight, your first glance, and you see Jesus. Nothing was ever the same, and for some of us, we remember that. Our eyes were open, and listen, we looked at the world with totally different lenses. Everything was different. Nothing was the same. And that's what happens when we come to the Lord. He gives us sight. The Bible says he makes the blind to see and the deaf to hear. Amen. I'm going to close with this. A couple days ago, I was listening to a testimony, this artist. And he mentioned that when he was a young man, that a pastor in his 20s, he came to his parents' house. He was a teenager, knocked on the door, and that young pastor invited his parents to a Bible study. Now, they didn't go, but the parents did go. Now, he shares that what they didn't know, what he didn't know, because his parents had kept from him, was that his mom had cancer. And he says, you know, she was skin and bones. We knew she was sick, but they kept it from us. And after about 3 months of attending this Bible study, God healed her. God healed her. And the whole family came to know the Lord. All 10 of them. All 10 of them. The parents accepted the invitation to follow Jesus. The kids accepted the invitation to follow Jesus. And he goes on and shares that many have gone into the ministry. Many went into the ministry since then. He is an artist, and he reaches many people, thousands of people. And he says, because of the faithfulness of one man, thousands and thousands of people were reached. This young pastor was faithful to go and knock on the door and says, come to our Bible study. I want to tell you about Jesus. And the parents were faithful to respond to Jesus' call. And the kids, in turn, believed. And the kids, in turn, were used of God mightily. Listen, God wants to use our lives. Do we know that God wants to use our lives, church? Yes. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Yeah. And look, the times that we live in, I know we mentioned this, but we know that it's true. It's just one another thing and another thing, and those things can bring us down. Man, there is a need. There's a desperation in the heart of man right now. There's hopelessness because the things that man put their hope in, such as politics or this or wealth, whatever it may be, all those things, they disappoint. They'll let you down, but Jesus doesn't. And us here as a family of God, he wants to use us. Now, I love Anthony's testimony. I love Melissa and Michael's testimony last week. And you know, I love the testimonies because we see real lives, real changes, people being born again by the power of the gospel. Amen?